Dennis. You're listening to KPFT in Houston. Dennis, are you here? We are in our fun drive at KPFT, and well, Flashpoints is one of the important programs that we run, and Flashpoints is one of the things that makes it possible for you to hear what's going on in parts of the world that we simply do not hear anywhere else. 713-526-5738 is the number to call to become part of this ongoing experiment in communication. That's how we look at it. We keep finding out new things all the time. On Flashpoints today, you heard the kind of reporting that Flashpoints is so well known for. It's the kind of reporting that you simply do not get anywhere else. Dennis started off the program by playing actually the raw reporting from an event going on in Palestine. And this is where else would you hear this? Where else, how else would you know what's going on? How else would you be able to tell what's happening in the rest of the world? And it's the fact that we're listener-sponsored that allows us to do this. Why don't we hear this kind of reporting on the corporate media, the media that we hear so much when we don't listen to KPFT, CNN and CBS and all the other C's and N's and A's? Why don't we hear this kind of reporting? That is an interesting question. But the real answer is that we hear it here. We hear it at KPFT from 7 to 8. Every day we hear Flashpoints. And Flashpoints, how does Flashpoints stay on the air? Flashpoints stays on the air because you make it possible. It is your support for Flashpoints that makes it possible for us to do this kind of work. 713-526-5738 is the number. And today we're offering a very interesting tape. You heard Nelson Mandela. We have the videotape with his entire speech, the speech that he gave in South Africa. And in addition to Nelson Mandela on there, we also have the speeches that Arundhati Roy and Noam Chomsky gave at Porto Alegre at the World Social Forum. 713-526-5738 is the number to call to support KPFT, to support this kind of scrappy radio that we do here. Am I talking about scrappy Dennis Bernstein? You bet. Dennis Bernstein joins us from KPFA in Berkeley.
Hey, Otis, how are you doing? Hello, Houston. It's great to talk to you. And it's great to know that there is a Pacifica station, KPFT, that's there, that's viable, that's ready to stand as the world, as the globe takes on a few angry, greedy oil barons in Washington. Tony Blair, the American poodle, the American junior ambassador, and the people of the world fight back. And who has a more powerful voice in this battle than Nelson Mandela? And imagine, we've got that speech on videotape along with Arundhati Roy and Noam Chomsky at the World Social Forum, and you can get all of those voices for how much?
$120. $150. I'm sorry, it's $150.
$150. And what do they dial?
That's $12.50 a month, and all they have to do is dial 713-526-5738 to take advantage of this incredible offer.
Well, please, please keep this radio network alive, this alternative electronic leaflet that speaks truth to power. Won't you call 713-526-5738? 526-5738, and they can also get the three-hour teach-in that we did. I'm sorry you all only heard a little bit of that, but it was quite the three-hour teach-in. You can get a copy of that three-hour two-CD set by Darling, 713-526-5738. We want you to have it. We got incredible reports from around the country, around the world. We talked to significant people from one end of this country to the other and around the globe. Won't you call now, 713-526-5738. You can get a copy of that. You can get a copy of the Nelson Mandela or Andante Roy, Noam Chomsky. But whatever you do, the real premium is the open flow of information, and I need to hear those bells of freedom ring.
Now we have six open lines. That's right.
713-526-5738. That worries me. Six open lines. Who out there heard the opening of the show when our special correspondent reported from the ambulance about the Israelis opening fire on civilians, on people in a square in Nablus? Do you support that kind of reporting that you hear nowhere else? Are you willing to put your money where your beliefs are? Are you willing to take a risk for free speech radio, take an action that you don't have to, but that your mind and your heart and your consciousness tells you is the right thing to do? I'm hoping you are. I'm hoping those bells are going to ring now, the phone number, and it would be a delight to do it all together. Six at one time, dialing 713-526-5738. 713-526-5738. We need your help now, folks. Maybe you're out, it's a holiday, you had the day off, and you just sort of come in late here. You're coming in late. Well, folks, we need your help. Now, this radio network operates as a collaboration. It's a sacred pact between producer and listener sponsor. We vow as an alternative producer to do our best to give you the alternative. Your part of this is that you stand up and take an action that your heart and your mind tells you is the right thing and that your consciousness says yes to. All right, folks, 713-526-5738. We need the first person. We need somebody to break the ice. I am getting really worried, Otis. 713-526-5738. Thank you, number one. Thank you for honoring the work that we do here at KPFA. Thank you, second caller, for caring, for standing up and caring for the work that we do. 713-526-5738. Thank you, third caller. Thank you so much for honoring the sacred pact between listener and producer. Thank you for dialing 713-526-5738. We are way, way behind in this fund break. I know we started late and the phones are ringing late, but maybe they'll ring off the hook and they'll keep ringing. 713-526-5738. I want to thank the people who are on the phone from the bottom of my heart. And believe me, my heart hurts today. But I want you to call now and join the people who are on the line and put your money where your beliefs are. Thank you for honoring the work of Pacifica. Please stand up now. 713-526-5738. I think we must have an open line. 713-526-5738. What's it look like there in the...
Dennis, are you there? Can you
I'm
answer?
Here.
No, there's another Dennis.
Dennis.
We have a Dennis in the dispatch.
Oh,
Fathers
that's good. In call the, me DB.
Yes, Otis, I'm here.
Yeah, how many open lines do we have?
We have three open lines.
So three people could call now.
Yes.
Tell them how to do it, Otis.
713-526-5738. Take advantage of this $150 offer at the $150 level. That's $12.50 a month. You can do it monthly. That we're talking 41 cents a day. That's less than the price you pay for a newspaper, which doesn't have the news in it that you get here. 713-526-5738 is the way to honor that pact between producer and listener sponsor.
That's right. 713-526-5738.
713-526-5738, and you become a member of KPFT. Membership in KPFT is what keeps us going.
I hear a bell of freedom. There is somebody who's calling because not only did they appreciate the work, but they're taking an action that they don't have to take. Nobody's watching. Nobody would know. I mean, maybe Information Awareness Bureau is watching all of you and all of us.
The radio police.
And John Poindexter, the radio police, and John Poindexter, the Iran-Contra criminal, is working his $250 million budget to track us everywhere, you know, to find out what we take out of the library. But we don't know whether you are or you aren't subscribing. I'm hoping now that you'll take a few minutes, like that person who's calling right now, and dial 713-526-5738. 713-526-5738. I want to appeal to people who think it's important to spend money covering the issue of the Middle East. People who are willing to pay for those very expensive, many, many phone calls to the Middle East. We did a very strong segment. I don't believe you got to hear it on today's Flashpoints. A very, very strong segment on the Middle East. The strongest that I think I've ever done. And I'm hoping you'll get a copy of our CD, our two CD set on that teach-in, our three-hour teach-in, and learn the material and study from the material and grow from the material and then do something about it. And right now we're asking you to support the scrappy alternative here at Pacifica Radio by dialing 713-526-5738. 713-526-5738. Won't you call right now? Won't you help out your alternative free speech radio station, KPFT? If you care about the work we do on Flashpoints, drown out the sound of those who want to get rid of us by calling now. And believe me, don't doubt for a minute. Don't doubt for a minute that there are a number of people who would like to have me, if possible, dragged off the air for the second time. 713-526-5738. 713-526-5738. Folks, I don't hear those bells ringing, and I'm hoping that you'll honor the people who are on the line now and call. I'm worried about this. I'm really worried that KPFT is not going to make its budget, and we'll be facing some real problems in the face of this war. There is no more important time than now. This is perhaps the most dangerous time in history. It's the most dangerous time that I have ever experienced in the history of this world in terms of the kinds of things that we're facing now. And I'm hoping that you'll honor that with a pledge to your alternative radio station. Won't you call 713-526-5738? People, I couldn't get back to Anne Gwynn. So what I did to give you that report about the killing on the Market Square, the just opening fire, the bloody scene there, I just took her messages off of the answering machine. No, it wasn't perfect sound, but you got the message. You heard what was happening. We dialed our brains out to try and get in touch with her. We couldn't do it. I'm not sure if they just cut us off, if the Israelis shut down the lines, blocked the satellite. I don't know what happened. So we gave you the phone machine, and we thought that that made sense. We thought, well, what the hell? It's the material. It's not exactly the clarity of the sound. If you could just make it out. Well,
but Dennis, I'll tell you, everything here at the station stopped when we were listening to that. That is the kind of exciting, immediate reporting that nobody else dares to do.
Well, I hope people will honor it right now. Because if they call in the face of that, if they support that kind of reporting, then I feel I can go on. That's what keeps me going. You know, I've said this before, I get pretty ugly things coming at me over the email and in various ways in person about my reporting on the Middle East. That's scary, but it doesn't intimidate me. What really scares me and what makes me get nervous is the fact that people might not support the work that we do. If you support that work, if you want to pull out the stops for free speech radio and that kind of reporting, I'm asking you to, six of you right now, to ring those phones off the hook by dialing 713-526-5738. Has something that you heard on the radio tonight meant something to you? Did it make a difference? Did it help expand your consciousness, the way you think about things? If it mattered to you, won't you ring that bell of freedom right now? 713. I'd love to see six of you do a group dial and ring. It's really a wonderful sound. 713.
Thank you for that call.
526-5738. A second person. 713-526-5738.
713-526-5738 to support the radio that brings you news, that brings you what's happening in the world that you will not hear anywhere else. This is the place.
And Otis, I want to make an appeal. I'm going to say two things. One, if you don't have the money, if you are broke, this service is free for you. This is for you. This is for you. I'm asking you now, particularly today, if you have a little extra money, if you've got 500 or 1,000 or 2,000 and you won't miss it, I'm asking for your help. Right now, I'm asking for you to get a copy of the Noam Chomsky, get a copy of the 3-hour CD, whatever it is, I'm asking you to call right now. I'm asking you to dial 713-526-5738. This is a slow day, and you can make the difference. You can change the way we feel. You can support the work we do. You can support your own alternative radio station. So let me say it again. Wherever you are, if you're shopping in the market and you got a cell phone, dial 713-526-5738. If you're an artist at the easel, if you're a poet at the computer or letting it come through the wrist, 713-526-5738. If you're jogging, if you're running down the streets, pick up the phone or use your cell phone and dial 713-526-5738. If you're cooking dinner, if you're seating, if you're boiling water for the noodles, if you're driving by in a helicopter, whatever it is, please, 713-526-5738. If you're in the back of that limo, give us a call and give us a couple of $1,000. 713-526-5738. If you are in the military and you are against the war and you're sneaking a listen on headphones, please, 713-526-5738. If you're at a crummy job that you hate, that you can't stand, but you love Pacifica Radio and listening on the headphones gets you through, please, 713-526-5738. We've got open lines. We shouldn't have those open lines. I'm hoping that all of you, if you're doing any of those things that I mentioned, please, 713-526-5738. I need to know that you're out there and that you care. Otis, give them the number and tell them what they can get.
713-526-5738. And we really only have a few more minutes to take advantage of this exciting mother of all videos. This is a 2-hour video with Nelson Mandela giving his speech. And you heard part of the speech tonight on Flashpoints. The whole speech is pretty powerful. And not only that, but Noam Chomsky and Arundhati Roy speaking at Porto Alegre at the World Social Forum. This is a video. You know what's so cool about these videos is you can play them for your friends.
That's
people
right.
who don't know what's going on, or people who may feel that somehow war is a good thing. This video, the 3-CD set of the teach-in, this may make some changes in the way people look at things, and that's what it's all about. And we're offering that at the $150 level. That's 41 cents a day. That's $12.50 a month. That supports us, and it gives you the tools you need to support us as well in letting other people know what's going on, people who may not be listening now.
All right, folks, let's do it. I have about a minute left.
Yeah.
I have a minute, 1 minute left. And in that minute, it would be delightful and a real inspiration if we could fill up every line. 713-526-5738. 3738. It would be nice to know that every line is busy with people who care about the alternative and are willing to put their money where their beliefs are. Let's do it, folks. Please, together, now. 713-526-5738. 713-526-5738. Person in the tally, Dennis in the tally, tell us when we get all those lines, Phil. 713-526-5738. We haven't done it yet, folks.
How are we doing, Dennis? I think Dennis is on the phone.
713-526-5738. Come on, folks.
Three open lines.
All right, folks.
Three lines.
Come on. I'd like to see if we can get it all.
Two open lines.
All right. It's moving.
Two more.
Two more. 713-526-5738. Just to, all right. 713-526-5738. One more person to stand up and put their money where their beliefs are, and we will have what we call a bingo. 713-526-5738.
How are we doing, Dennis Fetters? 713-526-5738. Please call now.
713-526-5738. Please call now. Help out your alternative free speech radio station. 713-526-5738. Oh, my God, I want to know, have we done it yet?
Dennis, did we do it?
713-526.
They're all lit up.
All right. All right. 713-526-5738. Keep calling. Keep those phone volunteers busy. All right. All right. Make them work. Okay. Work for those bells of freedom. 713. Now it's happening. Now it feels like a collective action of people who by the millions around the world have stood up against war. This is an incredible medium to get that word out. Won't you call now? 713-526-5738. If you get a busy signal, please call back. Otis,
Thank you, Dennis.
A pleasure. Thank you. Keep me posted.
All right. 713-526-5738. Thank you, Dennis Bernstein. I also want to thank Queer Voices for giving us this 20 minutes. And they're here. They're ready to start. They're starting right now. And I also want to thank the Mucky Duck for supplying us with some absolutely delicious dinner. The Mucky Duck, it's an old friend of KPFT, and we thank you for that. 713-526-5738. This is KPFT Houston. Stay tuned for Queer Voices.
At 90.1 FM, this is KPFT in Houston. And now, Houston's only primetime radio program dedicated to news and concerns of the lesbi, gay, and transgender identity. This is Queer Voices.
Good evening, this is Jack Valensky.
And I'm Joan Devlin.
And J.D. Doyle.
And also with us is Jimmy Carper tonight. He is subbing for Glenn Holt.
Nobody can take Glenn's children's shoes.
Yes. We met an engineer in a while.
Luckily, yes. Glenn's in Florida, not in the Northeast, where he'd be buried by snow if he was.
He'd still be naked, though.
So tonight, in our abbreviated show, it is fundraising time at KPFT, and we will hope you support this type of programming, Queer Voices, and shows like After Hours and Progressive Forum, and things like that. If you call us at 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT. We do have a pretty full show tonight, so if you can get on board and make your pledge now, we can go right into our program. Tonight, we're going to be talking to Randall Ellis, who is the executive director. Excuse me, unprofessional, ain't I? He is the executive director of LGRL, the Lesbian Gay Rights Lobby in Austin, and who is battling that legislative session right now without the help of people like Deborah Danberg.
That's right.
So, and then also, we are going to be talking about coming out. with the Montrose Counseling Center. And later on in the program, you have an author?
Yes, Richard Brodsky. He's the author of Jody, A Love Story. And what he has done is he's updating us on his current status right now. He is battling HIV and has recently been diagnosed with brain cancer. So he's going to be talking to us about the changes in his health and, you know, basically keeping it positive, though. He's still planning to run in the New York City Marathon later this year.
Okay, and besides all of that, we have our regular features, including News Wrap and other segments from This Way Out. So let's listen to News Wrap now.
I'm Christopher Gall.
And I'm Cindy Friedman.
With News Wrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending February 15th, 2003. In the week of Valentine's Day, partnerships dominated gay and lesbian news. Brazil's Supreme Court on Valentine's Day issued a ruling affirming the rights of gays and lesbians to inherit their deceased partners' social security benefits and pensions as legally married spouses do. The High Court upheld a June 2000 ruling by a federal judge in the state of Rio Grande do Sul. The failed appeal was brought to the Supreme Court by Brazil's National Institute of Social Security, INSS. In the interim, dozens of gays and lesbians have succeeded in accessing their late partners' INSS pensions, but many others had been denied them by their local offices.
The European Parliament this week endorsed an expanded definition of family that includes same-gender couples. By a 9% margin, the EP approved a committee's proposal including mutual recognition of gay and lesbian partnerships among member states of the European Union. ILGA, the International Lesbian Gay Association, has lobbied hard for the move, and its European co-chair Kurt Krickler explained that if the policy is adopted, it would remove the main obstacles hindering lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender citizens from exercising their right of residence and free movement. The current lack of mutual recognition can interfere with a partner's obtaining a residence permit when a couple relocates and can even pose a barrier to hospital visitation. While this week's vote by the directly elected EP is an important step, the directive still needs the approval of the EU's appointed Council of Ministers.
Numerous demonstrations for equal marriage rights for same-gender couples were held across North America this week in coordinated actions for Valentine's Day and the U.S. 5th Annual National Freedom to Marry Day, observed February 12th. In Mexico City, gays and lesbians held their annual public mass wedding ceremony, a celebratory demonstration for legal recognition of their partnerships. Mexico City's own legislature has for some time been considering a bill to create registered partnerships for same-gender couples with the same city-level benefits as heterosexual couples.
Across Canada and the U.S., in addition to demonstrations and press conferences, a number of gay and lesbian couples applied for marriage licenses and were denied them. This happened at 120 sites in the U.S., including Berkeley, Oakland, and Los Angeles in California, Pueblo County, Colorado, Omaha, Nebraska, Trenton, New Jersey, Northampton County, Pennsylvania, Minnehaha County, South Dakota, and Hamden, Hartford, Mansfield, and Norwich in Connecticut, where a civil unions measure is being hotly contested in the state legislature.
Canadian gay and lesbian couples were denied marriage licenses at sites including Halifax, Nova Scotia, St. John's, Newfoundland, Moncton, New Brunswick, Montreal, Quebec, Sudbury and Toronto in Ontario, Winnipeg, Manitoba, Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, Calgary, Alberta, and Kelowna, Vancouver, and Victoria in British Columbia.
Equal marriage rights are currently under consideration in Canada, in the courts, and the national legislature. As it happens, this week marked the beginning of hearings in the British Columbia Court of Appeal on a key marriage case, as 8 gay and lesbian couples denied marriage licenses in 2001 contest a provincial trial court's finding that current marriage discrimination is justified. Since then, courts in two other provinces have found marriage discrimination unconstitutional, decisions which are also being appealed.
In the wake of those decisions, a committee of the Canadian Parliament has been holding hearings at the request of the Justice Department to consider the status of gay and lesbian couples, including the possibility of full equal marriage rights. But those hearings are not going well. Justice Committee Chair Andy Scott this week had to call for members to express themselves with restraint, hoping to avoid verbal confrontations that have disrupted the hearings.
Openly gay committee member, New Democratic Party MP from British Columbia, Sven Robinson, was outraged by a Christian group spokesperson's testimony comparing homosexuality to pedophilia and bestiality. He told reporters, "The hearings have too often been steeped in an atmosphere that is abusive, hateful, and full of, in a number of instances, really disturbing allegations about gay and lesbian people." Robinson this week reintroduced in the House of Commons his private member's bill for equal marriage rights, declaring that the relationships of gay and lesbian people are just as committed, just as loving, and just as deserving of recognition through marriage as those of heterosexual couples.
Democratic U.S. Congressmember from New York, Gerald Nadler, chose Valentine's Day to reintroduce his Permanent Partners Immigration Act, which would allow U.S. gays and lesbians to sponsor their foreign partners for immigration as legally married spouses can. It's the third time Nadler has introduced the bill, which has little hope of advancing.
In Hawaii, which was the first U.S. state to recognize same-gender couples, a civil unions bill quietly fell victim to a deadline this week, falling one state senator short of the minimum of 13 supporters needed to advance. The measure did have support from a majority in the House of Representatives.
At the municipal level, the Los Angeles, California City Council unanimously approved an equal benefit ordinance. Effective April 1st, all companies with city contracts of more than $5,000 must extend the same employee benefits to their workers' domestic partners as they do to married workers' legal spouses.
Eugene, Oregon registered domestic partners for the first time on Valentine's Day. Registration does not guarantee any rights or privileges, but does provide a form of certification for employers and others who offer domestic partner benefits.
The Collier County, Florida Commission voted 4-1 to approve a resolution on civil rights, including those of gays and lesbians. But activists were disappointed since it only calls for county staff to refer discrimination complaints to state or federal authorities. An earlier version would have created a commission to investigate discrimination claims.
Colorado's State Senate Judiciary Committee killed two gay supportive bills this week on party line votes, with Democrats supporting the bills and Republicans opposing them. One would have prohibited employment discrimination based on sexual orientation. The other would have added gays and lesbians, as well as seniors and people with disabilities, as victim groups in the state's hate crimes law.
Suspects in two notorious attacks against gay men were arrested this week. In Canada, Vancouver police arrested a suspect in the November 2001 bashing murder of gay Aaron Webster in a cruising area in the city's Stanley Park. That attack sparked demonstrations protesting anti-gay violence, and the long period without an arrest strained what had been a good relationship between the city's gay community and police. Earlier, police revealed they had identified a suspect but lacked enough evidence to arrest him, a situation apparently remedied by tips called in after a TV show about the killing last week. Because the suspect was 17 at the time of the murder, his name will not be released. He's been charged with manslaughter and will face a bail hearing in the coming week. More arrests in the case are expected.
In South Africa, police arrested two men for last month's massacre at the Sizzler's gay massage parlor in Cape Town that left 9 men dead and a 10th seriously wounded. Police say both suspects, whose names have not yet been published, made full confessions before a magistrate, with robbery the apparent motive. The men will make a further court appearance in the coming week. The arrest resulted from overwhelming public response to the release of identikit sketches of the suspects developed with the survivor and other witnesses.
Finland's government this week officially withdrew its bill to clarify policy on fertility treatments, which a parliamentary committee had amended to criminalize provision of those services to lesbians and other women not in a relationship with a man. The government opposes criminalization.
And finally, just last week, the U.S. advocacy group Human Rights Campaign announced that oil giant ConocoPhillips omitted sexual orientation from its non-discrimination policy, even though Conoco had protected gays and lesbians before its August merger with Phillips Petroleum. HRC made that announcement after hearing from a ConocoPhillips spokesperson that the merged entity had no intention of adding sexual orientation to its formal policy until such time as U.S. federal law may be changed to protect gays and lesbians. But faced with the publicity, as well as a shareholder proposal to make the addition to the company's equal employment opportunity policy, this week corporate management issued a statement saying, ConocoPhillips is and always has been deeply committed to fair and non-discriminatory treatment for all employees. The management committee has amended, effective immediately, the company's EEO policy to include the term sexual orientation to more accurately reflect this commitment.
That's News Wrap for the week ending February 15th, 2003, written by Cindy Friedman and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area. An informed community is a strong community. For This Way Out, I'm Cindy Friedman.
And I'm Christopher Gall.
Queer musician.
It is time to ask you to please help support this type of radio programming. This is Queer Voices. We've been on since 1993. And before that, there was a show called Wildenstein, which was one of the first in 1975.
Right.
Can you imagine that? 1975.
Right.
And this type of programming takes money. It doesn't take money for us because we're volunteers. We're all volunteers who do the show, who work out on the show, help keep the station going. But it does take money to keep the station going, as you know. It cost us money to keep our transmitter going with electricity. It cost money to keep the building going. We sometimes have leaks in here.
There's staffing problems. You know, membership people. There's, you know, people have to be here.
Yes, right. We sometimes see them. You know, since we come in at night, we don't always see those people that work here during the day.
Yeah, let me reiterate something. We've been on the air since 1975, and KPFT has been committed to this type of programming. We were not.
And if they weren't, then we reminded them.
Yeah, that's right. We were not the token gay people. KPFT has always been very, very supportive of GLBT programming. This is not some new thing, you know, like now there's a lot of stations here and there that might have the occasional gay person on and not freak out. KPFT actually had gay programming.
It's about diversity.
Exactly, and it always has been.
Well, and there are shows on TV like Will and Grace, and that's all well and fine, but do they actually talk about issues? They more or less talk about drinking problems or fashion or the latest things, and we really get down into the issues. In fact, our next interview, which we're going to be going to shortly, is talking about what's going on in the legislature. I mean, what do you know what's going on up there? I don't.
I do, because I talked to our guest last week for the Triangle. Yeah, it's a scary place in the Texas legislature right now. I mean, there's some good things happening, but there's some really
and
bad
some
things happening,
brand new anti-gay bills.
Yeah.
Let alone their $10 billion budget gap, which means what are they going to cut first?
Yeah.
So if you want to be able to hear these type of things, you know, we really try to keep our show to do with local issues. We have This Way Out that does a very good job on keeping the issues that are national and international. But our focus is here on what's going on in Houston and in our neighborhood. And things from anything from the parade to talk about coming out issues, which we're going to be talking about a little bit later. Things that are going on the Montrose Clinic, things...
The charity benefits.
Charity benefits.
The chorus, you know, whatever functions, you know,
right.
The court, you know.
And J.D. does the music, and
that's
the music
right.
is his
JD
realm.
JD is amazing.
So we're asking you to please pick up the phone and call us at 713-526-5738. 713-526-KPFT. And there's some very nice folks who answer the phones who are also volunteers that will tell you about some of the nice premiums you can get if you're interested, or if you'd like to just give that money, all of the money, to KPFT and skip the premiums.
That's right.
So we have all that. And our basic membership is $35, and we go up in many, many different steps. But whatever is comfortable for you, we will certainly appreciate. Our goal is very reasonable for doing a two-hour program weekly. We can't complain about that, but we do need to reach that. So we're asking you to please call us now at 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT. We're going to go on the line with this now with Randall Ellis. Randall, are you there? Randall?
Yes, I'm here.
So what's going on up there in that scary capital of ours?
There are a lot of bad things, a lot of things that should be of concern to the GLBT community. This session, we've already had three anti-gay bills filed. The Defense of Marriage Act, of course, filed by everyone's favorite legislator, Warren Chisholm, out of Pampa, Texas, was filed at the first moment he had a chance to file it after the November elections. And the Republicans are really touting that they have a chance to push this through this session. So we have the Defense of Marriage. And then we have two anti-gay bills, which have, are attacking gay and lesbian families. There's a foster care bill banning gays and lesbians from serving as foster parents in the state of Texas. And that was filed by Representative Talton, and he's right there out of Houston. And last week we had a new bill filed, House Bill 916 by Representative Sid Miller, that's looking to limit the ability of gays and lesbians to adopt in Texas.
And I'm sure we've had some bills on our side filed. Do they have any chance?
Well, yes, we've had a few bills, not just a few, but we have the usual bills that were behind. We had House Bill 574 by Representative Farrar. She's a legislator there in Houston, and that was recently referred to a committee, Business Industry. So I'm very hopeful that will gain some momentum and maybe even have a chance to be passed out of committee this session. Representative Coleman filed one of the bills that I'm most excited about on our proactive side.
And Garnett Coleman is a representative here from Houston.
He is a representative.
He represents the east side of Montrose Boulevard in that area.
That is correct. And he filed the Dignity for All Students Act last week, which is a bill that would protect students from discrimination and harassment in school. A lot of times I think people assume that students are already protected at schools, that it's a safe learning place, and we all know, you know, that's not true.
Right.
And that's what his bill is aimed at, and I'm really excited about that. We've seen progress around the nation. Eight other states currently have legislation similar to what Mr. Coleman has filed, and hopefully Texas will be the ninth state here soon.
You really think that has a chance?
Well, you know, last session that bill made some great progress. It passed off the House floor. It was a bill sponsored by Representative Earhart. She's out of Dallas. She didn't return after redistricting things up. So based on last session's progress, I'm hopeful for it. But unfortunately, I'm not sure how aware you are of things that have been going on up here. We have a new speaker this year, and there's new committee assignments. So I don't believe that the committee assignments are as favorable to that bill being passed. But it's one of those bills that when you talk to people about it, they're like, it's a no-brainer. Of course, you know, every child should be guaranteed the right to an education. And, you know, even our own president says, leave no child behind. And I've never heard him put an asterisk next to it saying unless you're gay, lesbian, or bisexual.
Well, I want to talk a little bit, too, about House Bill 194, which is the bill that would ban gay foster parents. Because isn't there a provision in that bill? This is Joan Devlin, by the way. Isn't there a provision in that bill that basically says that even if people say they are not gay, the state should put time and effort and funds toward kind of investigating them
exactly
to make sure that they really aren't?
You're exactly right, Joan. It says that if they, it gives Child Protective Services, it demands that they put the question to prospective foster parents, are you gay, lesbian, or bisexual? If they answer no to that, but there's reason to suspect that they are, it gives CPS the right to conduct investigations. And that should just make the hair on the back of everyone's neck stand straight up. I don't know, you know, the bill language is very vague at this point, and so how those investigations would be conducted is not outlined. But to imagine the government coming into our homes and conducting investigations into our most private sexual lives. It's
right, just like
scary.
The 2106 case. They came into somebody's private home.
Exactly. And, you know, it's scary. That's part of the scariest thing about the bill. But, you know, it's also about the children. These legislators that filed this bill and expect it to go somewhere, even though it costs the state $60 million a year to ban foster care and adoptions. It would remove children from homes that have been in loving homes that are stable and have been proven to be stable and loving homes. And I think that's very irresponsible considering, one, child welfare, and two, given our budget, the state of our budget this go-around as well.
Right, we don't even have enough foster homes as it is, so if we simply eliminate, you know, 7,000 more...
Exactly. There are not sufficient foster homes to go around the state of Texas. Where, you know, we have about 40,000 cases of neglect and abuse, and they're only able to find placements for about half of those children. And to think that we would limit the pool any further is just outrageous.
Well, I'm just wondering, when you were growing up, if you were a big fan of horror films.
If I was a big fan of horror films?
Yes, because you've taken over this job.
It's like something right out of a horror movie.
Right, and, you know, we all know that Diane Hardy Garcia was, you know, worked very hard and got to know, you know, legislatures, the good and the bad.
Right.
And I know you've worked, you know, there and also did, but it's got to be a very, very tough job.
Yeah, but, you know, the funny thing is I took this job... I started this job November 1st, and elections took place November 5th. And, you know, I woke up on the 6th with a headache and just said, oh, what am I going to do? And as I, you know, go forth here in Austin and meet people, everyone's like, why would you take this job on? And, you know, and I said before I took the job, and I still say so, that this is my dream job. This is what I want to be doing. I spent 2 years working for Garnett Coleman, and the time that I spent working for him, he really motivated me on being able to work the system, know how the system works and make it work better for you just by knowing that system better than your opponents. And so, you know, all the issues that I have, all the issues that I worked for when I was working there in Houston, for AIDS Foundation Houston, they all come back to one thing. Gays, lesbians, bisexual, and transgender folks are treated as like second-class citizens in their own country. And until we solve that, we're not going to get at the heart of our issues. You know, I could stand on the corner, hand out condoms, talk to guys until I'm blue in the face. But if, you know, I can't address the issues that make them feel like they're second-class or inferior to other folks, then I'm not going to be able to do anything.
Well, and you can't do this job yourself. I mean, it takes people helping you out. It takes people volunteering. And how can people get involved?
Right. Well, you can, people here, it's easy for people here in Austin. You know, we have volunteer nights during session 3 nights a week. If you're outside of Austin and you want to get involved, there are plenty of opportunities for that. There's opportunities to organize locally, to get people to come to our rally, which is on March 16th, organized for, you know, people to come to that rally, and also to our lobby day the next day on the 17th. If you want to get involved and start lobbying your legislators, we've kicked off a new project this year. It's called the District Lobbying Project. Our goal is to make sure every legislator receives a visit from someone from the GLBT community in their district office, so they realize these horrible, hateful measures they're trying to pass are actually affecting the people that live in their district.
Well, you know, Deborah Danberg, who has not rejoined the legislature this year, the first time in like 20-some years,
yeah,
has always talked about the fact that, you know, certainly she knew, you know, there's a lot of GLBT people in her district, but the fact of the matter is that some of these legislators out from West Texas or East Texas have said, well, I've never met a gay person.
Well, you know, they've taken a drive out through the country and they've stopped at a few antique stores. So I imagine they have met a gay person. And that's what our goal is to make them realize that there are gay people and they do know gay people. You know, it's becoming easier and easier for people to be out and to be comfortable with their sexuality. And, you know, and I've seen that progress in the past 10 years and talking to people that had my job before me, like Betty Naylor, who started off.
Yes.
You know, people honestly thought they had never met gay people. But as things become easier and as we break down the social barriers, people will start to realize that that's just not true and that they, you know, that they do know someone. And, you know, part of me just being out there walking the halls and talking to people about the issues makes it easier for the next person that comes along, you know, the next guy in another office. Because, you know, I have my gaydar, and I know that there are a lot of folks out there that have gay folks working for them in their offices.
Well, again, this year, ever since 1989, there's been a march rally at Austin for LGRL the day before, and then the day after, Monday, is Lobby Day, which is very, very important to be able to knock on the door of your representative and say, hey, I'm here, and remember who I am. This year, as you said, it's going to be on Sunday, March 16th at 12:30 p.m.
Exactly. March 16th, 12:30 p.m. on the south steps of the Capitol. We'll start it off a whole host of events with speakers and entertainment. And the next, you know, that day later, we also have a film screening at the Alamo Draft House where people are staying over for the lobby day the next day, which starts the lobby day on the 17th at the Capitol Grill. That's the cafeteria in the Capitol at 8 a.m. in the morning. And already we've had tremendous feedback from groups and community organizations that are talking about coming up and spending the night here in Austin and going through the training that we provide the next day to talk to the legislators on these issues.
And I wanted to say, this year it's very, very important. Now, I know you had said that Representative Talton, who filed House Bill 194, he kind of had a closed-door policy on lobby day, but many of the other legislators do speak to people, don't they?
Yes, they do. You know, Mr. Talton is really not the norm on that, and the fact that he would check people out, it's a public building, and he's a public official. It's just an embarrassment. It's an embarrassment to the people that he represents over there in Pasadena as well. I've always found legislators and office staff very receptive and willing to listen and agree to be agreeable at the very minimum.
That's great.
Well, Randall, how can we get some more information about Lesbian Gay Rights Lobby of Texas?
You can log on to the web, www.lgrl.org, and you have all the information on the rally, on the issues at hand, and about LGRL itself. Or you can give us a call at area code 512-474-5475, or that's 512-474-LGRL.
Randall, thank you very much for joining us this evening.
Thank you. I appreciate
it. You've got a very, very busy schedule.
Yes.
Randall Ellis is what is your title?
I'm the executive director.
Executive director, okay. Of Lesbian Gay Rights Lobby in Austin, and LGRL.org is the website, and on March 17th is the day that the rally is going to happen. But 17th is lobby day. I'm sorry.
Exactly.
We'll see you all there up in Austin then.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
And you're listening to Queer Voices on KPFT, and it is that time, you know. We only do this three times a year, each year. We're very lucky that we can do that we're sort of, in the old days, we used to have to do a lot more often, but you've been very kind to us in the past of supporting KPFT, and
we appreciate it.
And we appreciate it. That's absolutely right. Everybody who helps support this station for this type of programming that we do, I mean, they don't tell us what we can do or what we can't do. We pretty much tell them what we're going to do on the programs. I mean, we schedule our guests. We do, you know, we schedule the topics and the guest, and JD puts the music together.
Yeah, where else could you have a music segment given to you with total control?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And Jack, have they ever said, don't do this segment or don't do this subject matter?
No,
or
the only time that sort of came close was when I first started doing a program on AIDS, HIV.
And that was long ago.
Yeah, that was back in the early 80s. And
wow.
I said, you know, I'd really like to do this program, but I'd like to use the, you know, the terms that we use in the community.
Sure.
The words rather than the sort of clinical terms. And what we did was we wrote down the terms that we were going to use, and the lawyers had to sort of look at it and things like that because, you know, the things that, you know, we could say and we couldn't say, because Pacifica was the one with the 7 dirty word case.
That's true.
And almost lost its license. And, you know, I didn't know all the history about Pacifica, but, you know, it wasn't that long ago that the FCC was looking at any reason they could cancel licenses.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And pretty much the FCC doesn't cancel licenses to almost anybody. You almost have to, I mean, you have to really stretch the law for them to cancel licenses. But they were looking at this because we were somewhat subversive, you know, the fact that we were letting people from the community come in and do programming. I mean, that's just unheard of in this day and age.
And in prime time.
Right. Well, and, you know, this one company that owns a station across the street from us owns 1,200 stations around the country. And probably that's like three different formats. Well, you know, maybe five different formats. And a lot of them play exactly the same thing as the stations and here and there. And, you know, the programming that's done here in Houston is not like programming done anywhere else, not even at the other Pacifica stations. If there's a GLPT program on the other stations, it's completely different.
And yes. We have two of them.
Yes, and we have two of them.
Two of them, yes. We've got.
And can I remind people that the different programs have their own goals or quotas for during the pledge drive? And if you're a faithful listener of Queer Voices and you're going to pledge, please do it during our show.
Yes.
Because that helps us, because we really need to show the station that people care about our programming.
That's right.
So do that. Please call us, 713-526-5738. 713-526-KPFT and help support Queer Voices and KPFT.
There's a really cute guy out there answering the phones.
That's right.
Yeah.
Can I make another pitch? This is not for me. For those people who listen occasionally and they're kind of on the fence about pledging, if you don't feel like pledging for yourself, pledge for that 16 or 17-year-old who's out there in Angleton or Liberty, and this is their only contact to gay and lesbian people, their only exposure, their only place to hear another voice. Pledge for them.
You're listening to Queer Voices.
Attention KPFT members. All this month, you can get a 20% discount on tickets for concerts presented by Da Camera of Houston. Da Camera presents chamber music and jazz concerts, plus numerous free events throughout the community each year. Upcoming concerts include jazz pianist Jason Moran, February 28th at the Wortham Center. For tickets, call Da Camera at 713-524-5050. If you're not currently a KPFT member, it's never too late to join. Just call 713-526-4000, drop by 419 Lovett Boulevard, or print the form from our website at kpft.org. Or you can call 713-526-5738 during our winter fun drive. We'll see you at Da Camera. Attention KPFT members. All this month, you can get a 20%.
This week, the Lesbian and Gay Service Members Legal Defense Network marked the 10th anniversary of the U.S. military's Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy. The SLDN counted more than 7,500 discharges and $250 million spent on implementing the policy it calls the last great wall of anti-gay discrimination in our country. With the number of discharge proceedings against gay and lesbian service members increasing annually since the policy went into effect, it's hard to remember that it was ostensibly instituted to better protect them. Ironically, as thousands of U.S. military personnel are again headed for a possible war with Iraq, it was during the first Gulf War in 1991, more than 2 years before Don't Ask, Don't Tell, that many of the problems faced by gays and lesbians in the U.S. armed services received initial public attention.
The army's made a man out of me, a man out of me, a man out of me. My mother and my father agreed, the army has made me a man.
As the year began, the United States, technically the United Nations, was just days away from beginning its annihilation of Iraq in the Gulf War.
I'm ready to serve my country and go with my unit to the Persian Gulf. When I get back, I don't want to be discharged because of the fact that I'm a lesbian.
The war in the Middle East has also become a battleground for lesbians and gays in the U.S. military. Army Specialist Donna Lynn Jackson wrote to her commanding officer earlier this month saying, "I am an open lesbian and I wish to be deployed as such."
I was detached from all my friends. They were very supportive. It's like, no big deal, you know, so you're gay. So what? They wanted me to go with them. Instead, I was pulled out of my unit and attached to this other unit and then processed very quickly for discharge.
February 9th through 18th marked the fourth annual national conference of the Black, Gay, and Lesbian Leadership Forum, held this year in Los Angeles. Phil Wilson, the co-chair, opened the conference.
President Bush vetoes the 1990 Civil Rights Bill and bombs Baghdad in the name of democracy. We must speak. Our government spends $1 billion a day to kill people. But some of us have been in a war for a long time. We have been in a war against a monster more insipid, more dangerous than Saddam Hussein will ever be. This monster lives in our bodies. It is called HIV. Where are the Patriot missiles that will destroy this enemy? Where are the scuds of drugs and treatments we need to fight this enemy? Where are the weapons of health care and cures we need to save the hundreds of thousands of us who are infected with HIV? We must speak.
CBS Evening News. Dan Rather reporting. Good evening. We're going to take a break for a commercial just now.
AIDS activists disrupted national TV coverage of the Persian Gulf War to protest lack of media coverage of AIDS. Other protesters interrupted taping of the McNeil-Lehrer News Hour, some chaining themselves to the desk.
Between 300,000 and 500,000 people marched for peace on both coasts of the United States. In Washington, D.C., about 250,000 filled the Capitol Mall. And in San Francisco, AIDS quilt organizer Cleve Jones was one of the featured speakers.
President Bush has given us a lot of reasons for fighting this war as the administration casts about for new ways to market Operation Desert Storm. A war to save our cities, a war to conquer disease, a war to build schools and rescue our children from despair. A war for clean air and water. A war against bigotry and ignorance. A war for parks and playgrounds and homes. These are the wars worth fighting. The wars are here at home in America. No blood for oil. Bring the troops home.
The status of lesbians and gays in the United States Armed Forces remains controversial as fighting in the Gulf enters its second month. Dozens of gays and lesbians in uniform are telling advocacy groups that, despite denials from the military, a so-called stop-loss policy is operating, which delays what would otherwise be immediate discharges until the war is over. Brigadier General M.G. Vergamini, the Defense Department's Director for Manpower and Personnel, has called those reports preposterous and categorically untrue. The policy that homosexuality is incompatible with military service remains in effect. Period.
While most of the troops returning home from the Persian Gulf War were met with parades and celebrations, former United States Marine Corporal Eric E. Barker, the model Marine, receiving high grades for proficiency and conduct, as well as high praise for energy and self-motivation, was being hustled out of the Corps. Barker recounted how, while serving his country in the Saudi Arabian desert, he was accused by another Marine of having committed the crime of sodomy. His commanding officer fired him from his job and stripped him of his ammunition.
Where I worked and where we stayed was there was like a half a mile of open roads that we had to walk to get from the camp to the headquarters building. And anyone, any Arab driver, had access to the roads that we traveled to get over there. And without my ammunition, I was defenseless. They let me keep my rifle, but it's no good without ammunition.
Barker accepted a general discharge, which is less than the unconditional honorable discharge given to other troops returning from the Persian Gulf War theater. Because the Marines refused to allow testimony on his behalf, Barker waived his right to what he believed would be an unfair hearing.
In response to questioning by openly gay Congressman Barney Frank, Secretary of Defense Dick Cheney suggested he disagrees with the military's policy that homosexuals present a security risk.
The defense secretary stressed he inherited rather than formulated the military's policy on homosexuals. Dick Cheney told a House panel that the policy for many years is that a gay lifestyle is incompatible with military service.
There have been times in the past when it's been generated on the notion that somehow there was a security risk involved. Although I must say, I think that's a bit of an old chestnut.
I think that racism, sexism, and homophobia are like three strands in a rope that's placed where women, people of color, and gay men and lesbians are just not allowed to go.
After 5 years of waiting, U.S. Army Captain Dusty Pruitt will finally have her day in court. Pruitt was honorably discharged by the Army in 1986, 3 years after revealing her lesbianism in an interview with the Los Angeles Times. She's mounted a legal challenge to be reinstated, and the U.S. Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals ruled August 19th that the military must prove a rational basis for its 48-year-old ban on gay and lesbian personnel. The court also asserted it would reject the military's traditional tactic of citing existing anti-gay prejudice within its ranks as a rationale for continuing the policy.
Gay men and lesbians are the last legal group of individuals that one can persecute, and people are about doing that with all their might.
Citing a concern over the spread of AIDS, a U.S. federal judge upheld the ban on gays and lesbians in the military.
U.S. District Judge Oliver Gash ruled that the armed forces have the right to ban homosexuals because they pose a high risk of transmitting AIDS to other soldiers. The Pentagon did not request such a ruling, but asked that the ban on homosexuals be upheld for legal, not medical reasons. Judge Gash turned down a request by Joseph Stefan to reinstate him into the Navy. Stefan was forced to resign from the Naval Academy just before graduation in 1987 when his officers learned of his sexual orientation. Three times during the legal proceedings, Judge Gash referred to Stefan as a homo. Gregory King of the Human Rights Campaign Fund says Gash's ruling is based on bigotry and ignorance.
This is really a serious miscarriage and reflects the lack of information that's held by even intelligent members of our legal profession.
Stephen's attorneys say they'll appeal the judge's ruling. The Pentagon says it will have no comment on the ruling until all appeals are ended.
At 90.1 FM, this is KPFT in Houston. Now, more of Queer Voices with Jack Valensky, Joan Devlin, and Glenn Holt.
And we are community radio. This is KPFD.
Jimmy, what is Jimmy? What did he do?
Jimmy's having a wonderful time in there.
I know. I can hear him laughing.
We'll never invite him back again.
Oh,
exactly,
he's always welcome.
That fear in him.
You could have dragged anyone off the street to engineer, and they would have as well.
That's you.
I wasn't on the street when you asked me.
Oh, but I've heard stories.
You've got two great people coming up in an interview.
Yes, yes. But you know, I always refer to you as my evil twin.
That works.
Anyway, we are on our way. We're on our way. We're not there yet, but we're just on our way. We have two pledges that we'd like to thank. And I'm not sure if I can thank the first one because it's not circled there, but I'll just say Charles called and gave a very generous pledge. And also Michelle and Michael and Barbara also, and another very generous pledge. And, you know, it's not only GLBT people who call and pledge for this show. There are a lot of different people that call, and we welcome everybody here.
That's right.
We do not discriminate against anybody pledging to KPFT. And it's very easy to do, and it's very quick to do. You can do it. You can give your credit card number, or you can. We can bill you. We can do it any way you want. We can do electronic funds transfer. That even works better for us. But we can do it any way that's convenient for you. You call us at 713-526-5738. 713-526-KPFT. And I know the economy is down. Things are rough, and you know, because we got Republicans in the White House. We're about to go to war. They're taking away our freedoms in so many ways. People are taping up their house with duct tape and plastic. And that really works down here because most of our houses are already sealed because of the heat down here. But it doesn't matter. And we're in orange or yellow or green. Doesn't matter.
Green. That's a green alert, Jack. It's an environmental alert.
Purple alert comes in June, and we'll explain that later. But we really do appreciate it. We know it's tough sometimes because less people are working these days. Less people have health benefits where they work. Less people have time to even do anything other than work nowadays. But hopefully this is something that gives you a little bit of comfort. Pacifica Radio and KPFT here in Houston and the programs like After Hours and Queer Voices hopefully gives you some hope or some at least knowledge of what is going on in the world, both locally and nationally. So please do call us at 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT.
And I want my buddies from Katy to call in, because I know it is not just the Houston area that listens to KPFT and to Queer Voices. I hear from you. I hear from you in Conroe, and I hear from you in Katy, and I hear from you in Brookshire, and I hear from you even now out in Galveston with our new transmitter.
Yes, our new little translator.
That's right.
Down there.
And like Jack said, we're into diversity here. Anybody can pledge. You don't have to be from Houston to pledge to KPFT.
We're going to talk about coming out. And Sally Huffer is here, and Chris Kerr from the Montrose Counseling Center. And it's a support group that starts on February 24th at 6:15. And you can have a room number here, room 15 at the Montrose Counseling Center, which is 701 Richmond. Houston 77006, right here in the heart of Montrose. And for some of us who, it's been so long ago since we barely remember what it was like, well, actually, that's not true. We're always in the process of coming out.
That's true.
So what is the support group all about, Chris?
Well, we offered the support group last fall, and it's a 10-week support group session. It's for people who are in the process of coming out or thinking about coming out or have just begun to think that maybe I'm gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, and where do I go? What do I do? It's a support group. It's always helpful in numbers, you know, to know that other people are in the same boat. People can be at any stage along the way in the coming out process, and attend 10 weeks. Each week will have different topics, but there's always lots of time for discussion and sharing people's personal experiences.
And it's very multidimensional about coming out. I mean, you can come out to your coworkers, your family, your friends, and you can be at different stages in each one of those, right?
Yes. I usually draw a continuum from zero, which means you are so in the closet that you aren't even out to yourself, and then 10 meaning you're out to the world every day, every place.
10 means you're Red Hill.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. And then ask people to kind of rank themselves where you are and then where you would like to be. And even a growth of one is a positive growth. I had somebody at the end of the session say, I started as a -3 and now I'm a 4, and that feels like a big step.
Right, yeah. Right.
And I also asked them to rank some of the process, like coming out at work or coming out to your family. And some people put that real early. And other people put that pretty late, far down the line.
Well, there's different levels for different people, and there's good reasons for that. For, I mean, you may be living with your family, you may be young, you may, you know, there's job things to worry about, concern about. What are some of the reasons people talk about for that they need this process to be able to come out?
Most of the time they're coming because, I would say, and this sounds kind of strange, in pain. I mean, they're not happy with the way things are. And usually not coming out, I think you start to just accumulate baggage. It just builds up the dissatisfaction, the secrecy, the greater, every year that goes by, I think, is the more and more the sense, if it gets stronger, that people find out they're going to hate me, they're going to reject me. And that can get so strong that it just limits your social contact. It limits, and that, I find that when people come in their 30s, 40s, 50s, who are not out, it seems like there's a real kind of constriction or limit that they're just. It's not just I'm out having a normal life. I just don't tell people. It's that they're not living as happy or as open a life as they wanted to.
Well, and the term normal. I mean, some people think, well, because you're gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, you're not normal.
Yes. Well, and also, if you think about it, not being out can be very lonely, because having a relationship is an outing experience. Unless you're really going to sneak around and nobody in the world will ever know, which usually after a while you get kind of tired, like, can I see you more than just Friday night off in, you know, some place where nobody will ever run into us or we can never go out together. That when you're out, when you're in a relationship, sooner or later your friends find out or somebody's going to find out or your family, where you're going to bump into that I can't see you this weekend because I have to be with my family.
Well, and you could be in a relationship and still not be out. You know, you could just be with you, you know, Kate Clinton, I used to say that about her girlfriend. She says, you know, I guess after 2 years, I finally realized I was a lesbian with, you know, being with my partner. Yeah. But yeah, sometimes couples can be isolated too.
Yeah, and it works better if in a couple you're both at the same level. If you're both ones, that's a lot better than having a one and a ten. because the 10's going to keep dragging you out and wanting to introduce you to their family, to their friends, and going to be offended when you exclude them from your family and from your friends and say, sorry, I have to go to these functions, you can't come.
Okay, so how does the process work? What goes on in these workshops?
Well, it starts with just getting to know the people in the group and sharing with why you're there, what you're hoping for. And also, when I do that diagram, it's helping people identify where would you like to go. I mean, it's really personalized. Nobody's there, and I'm always clear, nobody's there to force you to do anything. That coming out when and where and how and if is a very personal decision. And for me, one of the reasons for that is because coming out in our world today can have real